What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. My voice is a little raspy right now. I can hear it. I'm sure maybe you could hear it, maybe not, because I spent the week in Las Vegas, and I lost my voice at a title fight. I'll tell you about that in 1 second, but first I want to remind you guys, if you are just tuning in for the first time to hear our interview or conversation with JID, you can fast forward past this part. I'm going to bullshit for a few minutes, and when you hear a beat, that's when you can stop fast forwarding. Also, don't forget to go to patreon.com/kindaneat, where if this is part of your weekly routine and you know about the beat and you still tune in to listen to me talk my shit anyways, then don't forget to just pledge $1 per episode. It helps more than you could ever imagine with paying the bills around here and keeping the lights on and keeping the podcast ad-free and just keeping us inspired and motivated to do it. So patreon.com/kindaneat, where you can pledge $1 or $2 or $3 or whatever per episode. Don't fuck around and pledge $10, because that's not how it works. Otherwise, you're going to be paying $40 a month, and that's silly, and then I have to email you and it wastes my time. So just pledge $1 a month. Thank you. So I was in Vegas, and I'm not a big Vegas guy. I've never been a Vegas guy. I've probably only been 5 or 6 times my whole life, and never on my own accord. Like, never just for me to go there. It's always been for work issues or for tour issues or whatever. It's just not my cup of tea. I'm not a go to the pool and party guy. I'm not like a fear and loathing drugs dude. I'm not a go to the club guy. And also, I just fucking hate spending money. And Vegas is like such a fucking money trap. It's insane. Everything there is just meant to steal your money. Like, you walk into the lobby of your hotel, which happens to be a casino, and you realize that even though it's the middle of the day, it seems like it could be either 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon inside the lobby. And there are just so many distractions. There are no straight lines to anything. You have to walk in curves so that you keep looking at everything. There are no benches to sit down on. Like, everything is just meant to steal your money, and I don't really like that. But I was out there for a week with Dom on a photo shoot for a big brand. We're hyped that we got the opportunity to work with this brand, and so everything went really swell. And they balled us out, dude. We're in the win. Everybody had their own rooms, a huge crew. This is a huge crew of probably, like, between all the sets in this fucking convention center setup that we had, there were probably like 100 people in the crew between production and photo crews and video crews and yada, yada, yada. And I think everybody there had their own room. And so we're at the Wynn, and man, it was dope. I tried this $20 trick. Have you ever, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but my friend Adam, shout out Adam from Ham on Everything, told me, like, oh, when you go, you got to try this. There's actually a website called the $20 trick dedicated to this, where when you are checking in, they say, oh, let me see your ID and your credit card. And you just fold up a $20 bill in between them, and like sandwich it in between the card and the credit card. I probably sound like such a fucking old asshole saying this, and like so many people probably already know about this, but I'm only telling you because everyone I told thought I was crazy. You just fold up the 20, and then when she takes, or he or she takes the card, you just say, oh, do you guys have any complimentary upgrades available? And they see the 20 and they go, let me check. Or they just give you the 20 back and say, oh, sorry, we don't have anything available. But the worst thing that can happen is that they give you the 20 back. Like, there's no chance of you getting in trouble or having that awkward of a moment. So who cares? It's worth a try. So I tried that, and the gal that was helping me check in was like, oh, let me check. And she starts typing away. And then she finds out that the room is fully paid for and that I don't even need to leave my card. And she, for like, you know, the bar or, you know, the snacks or whatever. And so perishables, I guess. And so she's like, oh, you know what? There aren't any upgrades available, but here's what I'll do. And she gives me the 20 back, and she's like, I'll put you on the highest floor available at close to the elevator. So I was on like the 25th floor, which is pretty tight. And I didn't have to walk down the elevator walk down the hall, because the halls are very, very long. And then it turns out that she gave me like access to the spa too. So like a couple of days I got to go like work out in the morning and then go just fucking hobnob in the spa and just like get my sauna on, hop in the steam room, jacuzzi, deluge shower. That's like the illest back massage ever. And, you know, showered up in there, relaxing. It was very nice. The wind is dope. I'll tell you, I took a survey today that said, would you visit again? And it turns out that I would. And I'm suggesting it to all you guys. If you can afford to stay in the wind, go stay there. That shit is the hot fire. So we're just busy working out there for the first 4 days and didn't have time to do shit. One night I was actually up to like 3 a.m. working, which is a real pain in the dick. But it was my birthday a couple weeks ago, like you guys know. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it. And so the homie bought tickets to this fight that I want to see, because I don't really talk about it that frequently on here, but I'm a huge, huge boxing fan. I've talked about it a little bit, maybe like Speak or something like that. But yeah, I love boxing and I try to keep up with as much as I can that goes on with boxing, mainly HBO fights, just because like that's all I pretty much have access to. But I also think that those are like the best fights going on anyways. So there's a fight I've been looking forward to for like damn near probably 8 months almost. It's Terrence Crawford versus Victor Postol. And Terrence Crawford is like number 6 pound for pound fighter in the world. He might have moved up after this fight. Just an amazing, amazing fighter out of Omaha, Nebraska. And then Victor Postol, he has the same trainer, Freddie Roach, as Manny Pacquiao, right? And Manny Pacquiao was like pretty retired, but now that he's saying he wants to come back and fight the winner of this fight, who's Terrence Crawford, spoiler alerts. And so Freddie Roach like swears by Victor Postol and says like, you know, this is going to be my next Manny. Like, this guy's amazing. And for a welterweight, he is pretty amazing. He's 5'11" and he only weighs 140 pounds, which is like insane to be that tall and that long and skinny. Like, his reach is like 3 or 4 inches longer than most people that he fights. And he knocked out this dude, Lucas Matisse, in his last fight. And it was a really good showing. And I was like, oh man, this is a fucking promising fighter. So I've been hyping it up forever. Like, oh man, I can't wait for this Victor Postol, Terrence Crawford fight. It's going to be dope. It's going to be a good fight, blah, 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 blah. Lo and behold, Don buys us tickets on the floor to go see the fight. And some of his other friends from down south in San Diego were meeting us at the fight as well. And man, it was super cool. Never been to the MGM Grand before. And that's always kind of been like one of those bucket list things, to see a fight there. And got to see Michael Buffer do the whole like, you know, for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching at home, let's get ready to rumble. Don't charge me for that, Michael Buffer. But to get to see that live, it was a real treat. And it's the cool thing about watching a Terrence Crawford fight live is that so many people from Omaha travel there travel and follow his fights. So it was almost like being in a hometown audience. Even though we were in Las Vegas, we were sitting in a whole row of people from Omaha. So you can't help but like just get involved and just like cheer for the dude. And I was rooting for him anyways, and he won, and he like dissected him, and hopefully he moves up on the pound for pound list after that fight, because it was amazing. That was also my first fight I've ever been to live. Never gotten to see a fight before. A lot of fights that I've wanted to go to in LA, I've been working on those nights or something. And so I caught the bug instantly. And as soon as I got home, there's a Chocolatito fight going on at the Forum in September, and I bought tickets to that. And so yeah, I'm going to try to catch more live fights, because it was really fucking dope to watch live. Now, the thing is, we were living in the lap of luxury for like the first 4 days that we were there. Like I said, at the Wynn, very, very beautiful place. Mind you, it was 115 one day we were there. It was like 108 the whole time that we were there. It was so insanely hot. And Vegas is crazy, because it's so hot outside, you don't even want to be outside at all. So I was like inside the whole time in air conditioning. I think the longest I was ever outside was probably like 3 or 4 minutes the whole fucking week. So you get kind of discombobulated while you're there, because you don't get any fresh air. You're just in climate controlled indoors the whole time and shit. But the crazy thing is, there was so much stuff going on there between the boxing match and then like the NBA. There was mad NBA dudes there because of the U.S. Olympics stuff going on. So, like, dude, one morning I went down to the gym and fucking Carmelo Anthony was working out there. The next day I went down there, DeAndre Jordan was in there working out. One morning I got breakfast and I was sitting a table over from fucking David Robinson, the Admiral, dude. And then I seen David Robinson like probably 4 more times while I was there. At one point we caught dinner and we're sitting next to the NBA Rookie of the Year, Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, it was just so crazy, like, how many NBA players were just everywhere. Like, I seen Klay Thompson just, like, playing blackjack, and DeMarcus Cousins was, like, just running a craps table at one point. Like, everywhere was NBA players. And it was crazy because they did a pretty good job of, like, keeping it low-key. Like, it wasn't – there was, like, no media there hounding anybody and or, like – I don't know. It was just cool. Like, everybody just acted normal. Okay, so my point is, I live in a lap of luxury for, like, 4 days. But even though we had tickets and we had to stay 2 days longer because we had to stay an extra Friday and then Saturday night and flat on a Sunday, we didn't book, like, a place to stay. And at first it was like, oh, yeah, we'll stay at the friend's timeshare. Like, they'll have enough space, but we'll probably have to sleep on the floor. And I'm kind of like, oh, come on, like, not sleep on the floor. So I was like, let me look for like an Airbnb. And so one day on set, I started looking for an Airbnb, and I found one that looks like cool enough. It was like pretty affordable. Cause here's the thing is that the MGM, like to stay in the MGM Grand or to stay in the Wynn, once it switched from like Thursday to Friday, Saturday, like the weekend, it was $800 a night for the most inexpensive rooms there. $800 a night for two nights. That's a little out of my budget. I mean, we out here living, balling, et cetera, et cetera. But not balling like that. So I was like, all right, we got to find something more affordable. So we find this place where for 2 days, it's like $350 all in, right? And it looks like decent. It's like it's on the strip. It's right next to MGM Grand. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's like a studio apartment with a pull-out bed and a couch. And I went, oh, that's cool. Like, there's a couch to sleep on and a fucking pull-out bed to sleep on. Like, let's do that. That seems show. This, you know, compared to everything else, it seems nice and inexpensive. And we get there, and man, we went from like luxury to fuckery. Like, the room was already paid for on Airbnb, and instantly the guy at the desk is like, oh yeah, you guys owe more money. And we're like, nah, we don't owe more money. Like, this is crazy. Like, we had to argue about that. And then it turns out it was like this timeshare place. So, like, instantly after you get your keys, they're like, oh, here, come talk to the concierge. You guys have to like get these pamphlets and listen to this spiel. I'm like, nah, we're not listening to this shit. So they try to like talk you into, you know, buying a timeshare space or whatever. And so at one, this is sounds so snobby, but we had a bunch of luggage because we had like mad camera bags and computers and shit. And, I go over to the bell desk, and I'm like, hey, could we get one of these luggage carts? You know, like, you guys have an extra luggage cart, thinking that they would just, you know, have a bellboy do it or somebody, or at least just have one to give to me. And this fucking dude goes, oh, yeah, if you, like, go around that corner and then go downstairs, there should be one by the elevator, and you just bring it up the elevator, and then you can use it. And I know that sounds like not a lot of work, but having, like, just set foot out of the wind where it was, like, you couldn't tell people to stop doing stuff for you. Like, everybody was doing everything for you there. It was, like, kind of crazy how attentive the staff is. And then going to that where they're like, yeah, go get your own. I was kind of like, are you, like, I wanted to be like, are you fucking kidding me? But I had to like remind myself that I'm merely a normal human and that none of that was on my dime previously. So anyway, I was like, oh, never mind. And so finally we see a bell guy and he comes over and helps us, blah, blah, blah. Point is, we get to the room and it is not the size of a studio apartment. It's like about half the size of a studio apartment. And there is not a pull-out bed and a couch. It is a couch that is only the couch that is a pull-out bed. And so there's just one queen-size bed in this room and we're both staying in it. And, you know, it's just tiny, like tiny, tiny, tiny and uncomfortable. And I ended up sleeping. I ended up setting up the couch cushions as like a floor on the bed or as a bed on the floor. And not because like any weirdness of sleeping in a bed, but just because fucking Dominic snores, dude. And he could be like, dude, you can sleep up here, man. It's not a big deal. I'm like, bruh, I don't have any problem sharing a fucking bed. It's just that like I would rather be down here so I don't have to hear you snoring in my fucking ear all night as we're forced to cuddle because of this small ass fucking room. You feel me? And so anyway, it was just like we were in Vegas for 2 days too long, but it ended on a bang and I got to see that fight. And that is the end of my week. And that explains why you are hearing a week too late, why I went on a 2-week hiatus, because we actually had I had an episode prepped already, the Rebecca Haithcote episode that we put out last week, but I didn't have time to like post it while I was on the road. So during the summer, when shit gets busy and artists are touring and there's a bunch of festivals, it gets kind of tough to find people that want to come on here, which explains why we usually go through lulls during the summer. So my apologies for that. Okay, so that is enough of me bullshitting. Let's talk about the episode today. This is a dude named JID. He's or Jid, could be either one, from Atlanta. And I heard about him actually through a previous guest we had on the show, Clayton Blaha, who had a great podcast episode. He just hit me up randomly. Sometimes he just hits me up and asks me if I heard of people. And he hit me with this dude. And I listened and I went, oh, fuck, this is like really dope. Because JID is, I mean, he just can rap his ass off. I think if you guys go watch the video, you'll see like the dude can just really bar out, but he also does it with a certain level, and I hate to sound so cliche, but he does it with a certain level of swagger that a lot of people who are generally like barred out don't have. And so, yeah, I don't know. So it's like he's got this kind of suave bop to his whole sound, but it's also like very heady and very rhyme heavy and like so many different styles. But I mean, you could pick up on all that in like only 4 bars of hearing him rap. Like it's instant to hear like how good of a rapper he is. He's really good. And so yeah, so Clayton was nice enough to like put me in touch with his management, who then put me in touch with other people, and now they've like just become that. Like, I feel like they're dudes that are gonna help in the future with finding other guests and stuff like that. And I'm just I'm now not only a fan of JID, but I'm a fan of the whole fam. He also is kind of clicked up with like Earth Gang, who we talk about on here. And Earth Gang is somebody that I actually like on my little own personal Spotify list or Spotify playlist. I had just like, I have a bunch of Earth Gang songs on there without having really known like who they were or what they were about. So then to like randomly get put up on one of their cohorts randomly like that was pretty cool, and hopefully we'll have them on in the future too. So this is like, I feel like JID, Earth Gang, Childish Major, and some others like are in this little own subsect of like what's going on in Atlanta right now, where it's like it's real, it's like very heady and brainy and just like, but styly as fuck too. And it's kind of like this weird, I don't know, man. I don't know how to explain it. It's just different and it's dope. And I think you guys will like it. And so without further ado, here is my conversation with JID. What's up, man? Welcome to Los Angeles.
Yeah, man.
Is this your first time out here?
No, I've been here a few times.
Few times?
Yeah.
How you like it?
I love it.
You see yourself moving out here?
Nay.
I feel like a lot of people start popping in Atlanta and they move out here for a couple of years to like work out the business stuff. No?
Nah, it's not my plan. It's not in my cards.
Hometown guy?
I like, you know what I'm saying, different places and stuff like this, but this wouldn't be like the first place. But I love LA. Like,
yeah. Where would you see yourself moving if you were to move someplace?
I would go to New York.
To New York?
Yeah.
More I would of go a New Yorker?
Yeah, and out of the country or something like that.
Oh, yeah, out of the country would be nice.
Yeah, just try different stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, from Atlanta.
Yeah, East Atlanta.
Born and raised?
Born and raised, East Atlanta.
Born and raised. How's East Atlanta? Tell me about East Atlanta.
It's East Atlanta. It's kind of tough. But
all I know about it is what I hear in rap songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just depends on what side. Like, you can be from east of Atlanta or, like, East Atlanta is, like, kind of, you know, inner city or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But it's tough. But if you come from a cool, like, upbringing and stuff like that, everything's, you know.
Did you come from a cool upbringing?
I had a big family.
Yeah, how big?
I'm the youngest of 7.
Wow, that is a big family.
Yeah, we turned.
Yeah, no shit. Do you think that's where the entertainer side comes from, being the youngest and like trying to like fight for attention or what?
I was so detached. Like my sister's how old is she? She's about 6 years older than me. So by the time I was like really, you know what I'm saying, high school functioning and all that, they were like really pretty much moving out and handling their lives and stuff.
Oh, so the closest sibling to you is 6 years older?
Yeah, my sister.
Oh, so you're like, for all intents and purposes, I think psychologically they say if your closest sibling is 5 years older than you, I think I could be wrong, that you're like an only child. So you kind of psychologically are almost like an only child.
At the same time, you know, like, we had siblings move back in, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was never alone, but at the same time, and it wasn't like we were the closest because I was just a baby, you know?
Right. What's your oldest brother or sister?
He's 30, what, high 30s. I don't even know.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Real.
So, like, way
I don't
older
know all
than
the
you.
Ages off the top of my head.
Really?
So don't.
So, I'm like, can you name all your brothers and sisters?
I can name them, but I couldn't give you their ages.
That's funny. So, what happened? Were your parents, like, done having kids, and then it was like, oh, here comes JID?
Yeah, it may have been.
Really?
Yeah, because they was like, they didn't even know I was coming.
Right.
It was like a surprise.
Yeah.
But it worked out, you feel me? I'm
yeah.
Here.
Are they, are all the siblings from the same two parents?
It's a blended family.
Blended family.
Yeah.
So who?
Mom.
Yeah.
Married prior. Had you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Had a few kids.
Right.
Pops had a kid. Then married my mom's.
Right.
And then we all like made that shit happen.
Right. What do your folks do?
Pops is real, and he's like in the community work. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like helping out like previous prisoners and stuff like that, because he's like he was in jail and shit like that.
Right.
Yeah. And my mom, she works for Verizon since it was like AirTouch.
Oh, wow. So, like,
yeah,
old
like,
school OG Verizon.
Yeah, OG, like, pagers.
Yeah.
Like, I had pagers when I was young, not even working ones. Like, I used to take the model shits and go to school with them.
That's so funny. But they work? The model ones work?
No. They're
just
for flex.
Show?
Yeah, flex phone.
Flex phone. That's tight. So, when did your dad get into working with the community?
It's pretty much, it was all my life, for
yeah.
real, because he was in military and stuff like that. He was a tough guy. So,
oh, what yeah. branch of the military?
I couldn't tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, my dad was military as well. That's how I ended up in Alaska. Did he move? Was he like moved around?
Nah,
stationed different places?
By the time I came around, we were like in East Atlanta, and we were just moving around
yeah.
there. But he was just getting jobs and stuff right. like that, and just working within the community and shit like
okay,
that.
Word.
He Ooh. Writes books and shit like that. He's like a real
oh wow
yeah freelancer.
That's dope. So what's the neighborhood like? What's the neighborhood that you grew up on, like your specific block?
We moved yeah. so many times.
Yeah.
We started, I remember when I was like a little baby, we stayed Flat Shoals, Bouldercrest area. And then we probably moved like three, four, five times because we just had such a big family. So they had to make different situations work. We stayed in apartments.
Right.
Eventually we moved to like closer on the east side to like closer to a little bit Stone Mountain
uh-huh.
but that was by the time I was like leaving high school or about to leave high school
right
and yeah so it was we moved around a lot so I couldn't really say like one area but it was just all of East Atlanta until like deeper into the east to closer to Stone Mountain type stuff
okay always like predominantly black neighborhoods and black schools
oh yeah. of course
no they're like so
it's Atlanta you feel me it's,
right
it's,
right
it's a lot of black people
well,
there, so
yeah,
I didn't really
no, totally.
Grow up around like white people like that you know what I'm saying
right.
or people of other, you know what I'm saying? Ethnicities and stuff
right.
like that. Yeah.
Pretty much all black upbringing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I even went to HBCU for a little bit.
What's that?
What's it called? It's called Hampton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So no white people.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not now.
Well, what do you think? What do you think of white
people.
Folks?
They're amazing.
Really? Oh, I think they're so such pieces of shit. No, I'm just
no,
no,
I have
I'm just
nothing.
Kidding.
Nothing bad to say.
Yeah, that's cool. So what were you into as a kid? Before the rap came along,
I was into sports and I was like real. I used to love books. I used to love to read and stuff like that. But
voracious reader.
I was real into like real sports, like go outside. You know what I'm saying? Scrape your knee, rub some dirt on it, keep going.
Football,
like,
basketball, baseball.
Yeah,
which
I played
one?
Sports.
All of them
up until like college. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had a little scholarship in college and stuff. That's
oh,
why I went.
What did you get a scholarship for?
Football.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you play? Cornerback.
Like, corner, nickel, kick return, punt return, swag.
Okay.
Yeah. I was cool, but I just got tired of tackling niggas. And
really?
Niggas just getting bigger, and I was just like, yeah, y'all got it. But no, I was about it, though. If you could check it, you know.
Where'd you where'd you end up going to college at?
Hampton.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
That's how I got
Hampton.
There.
Hampton.
HBCU.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in high school, you're like a pretty like star athlete then.
Yeah, I was lit in high school.
Really?
Yeah. All the you know all American and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. What age did you start playing football?
Five.
Oh, that young?
Yeah.
Really? How's football in Atlanta? Is it important like
yeah,
it is in
big,
Texas
like,
or something?
Yeah. It's Georgia football, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like real competitive. That's kind of what, you know what I'm saying, help me become who I am today.
And
like,
just kind of stay on the path?
Yeah, it's cool. Like
right.
Yeah.
So you say you're a voracious reader as a kid. What kind of books were you into?
whatever I could pick up. I used to like, I used to read like the Hunger Games and shit like that.
Oh, Hunger Games.
Yeah, my pops made me fucking read the Bible. Like, yeah. Me and all my brothers, we had to read the Bible like early and just report to him about it. So by the time I was like, feel like 11, you know what I'm saying? I probably read the whole Bible. Some
no
shit like
way.
That. Yeah.
So you guys are like a church family? Ish?
Yeah, ish. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But you didn't have to like go family. Every Sunday or anything?
We're religious. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Typical black family stuff.
Yeah. Were you in choir or anything like that?
Nah.
What's elementary school like? Do you stay out of trouble or did you like it? Did you take to it?
I was real active. You feel me? But how I was smart about it. I probably was like a little shy, little shady guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was good. Like, I was always got good grades and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Never got none. I used to get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Fights and just little kid stuff, but
yeah,
none too serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you a fighter?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of fights or what?
You know.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I used to fight a little bit because I had big brothers and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But not through, when I got like middle school and stuff like that, I'm talking about elementary, little kid stuff.
When
as I got older, like, I had brothers and sisters that went to like schools before me,
uh-huh.
like middle schools and high school, so I was kind of already known there, so it wasn't really crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Popular kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those type kids.
That's good. What age did you start getting tattooed? You're already all drilled up.
I got my first one, I was like 13.
13?
Yeah.
How?
Some brother and sister type, like, hey, we're getting tatted. I'm just, like, trying to go with them, whatever. So,
yeah,
I got my first one on my stomach.
Ooh.
I hid it for, like, 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, they found it when I was going into, like, my senior year. They were like,
Your mom and dad? Or
yeah, what? But by then I was blasted. I had, like, 3 or 4 more by then, like, on my back, just chest.
Really?
I used to walk around shirts for, like, years.
What was your first one?
On my stomach it says Root Boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's Root Boy?
It's my last name.
Oh, okay.
Indian boy.
Oh, okay, okay. Nice. So how the fuck do you hide that many tattoos from your folks?
Shady, man.
You're like a never nude?
I used to walk around the crib like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I used to wear shirts.
Right.
That's all I had to do because I wasn't getting my arms hit and stuff like that.
Right.
Not the neck type situation. I was just, you know what I'm saying?
Right, shirt so when you get to college, is that when you start going where the t-shirt doesn't matter?
Well, after they found the first ones, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They was like, all right, you already got it. You can't get it erased, so
mm-hmm.
I just kept getting them. It was my senior year, so you know what it was.
Right, you don't got a lot of space left, huh?
Nah, I got to fix some stuff. I got some.
Whole torso done?
Almost, like, not the sides and stuff like that.
Ooh, the sides are the worst. I have my sides drilled.
Nah, that's gangster.
They're terrible. It hurts like a motherfucker. But I don't have my stomach done yet. That's what I'm going to work on next.
That was the first one.
You got chest and everything?
Yeah, chest.
And how much of your back?
Nah, not really done, nah.
Mm, yeah,
I still got some room. You know, some skin.
Yeah, there you go. You got plenty of time. So, well, how long is it before you start rapping?
I always been able to do it. Rapping with your homies and shit like that. Niggas like, oh, you nice. You always been nice, but I never really cared, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I recorded a few songs here and there, but I never really cared about it until, like, I'd say, like, 2012.
Right.
That's when I was like, I can really do this shit.
Well, it's such a different... I mean, here's the thing, is that the reason I ask you, it probably seems obvious that, like, rapping has just came natural and you've just always been doing it, but not only did I grow up in a crazy different place than you, but also in a different generation where, like, rap was still kind of new when I was... So it wasn't a thing where, we listened to it, but nobody in my area raps. So, like, when you're... Like, when you say always doing it, what, is it, like, 6 years old you have songs memorized or 7 or, like, when you know what I mean?
In a black family, like...
Yeah.
You're going to hear, like, you know what I'm saying, hip-hop, or you got older influences, like my brother and sister. Like,
right.
One of my brothers tried to rap and stuff like that, and I used to hear a lot of the music
they used to play. How did he do? Did he get anywhere?
Nah.
Nah, yeah.
But, just hearing music around me and stuff like that, and just trying to copy that and stuff like that.
Right.
All my life, always, like, knew the songs on the radio one time after hearing and stuff like that. Just real receptive of stuff like that.
What kind of artist was it? Like, Jeezy, maybe? 10-year anniversary?
I used to listen to a bunch of different things, you know what I'm saying?
Because
my parents were big into music. My pops can sing a little bit, too. Like, he's just, like, a real, smart guy. But
yeah.
He used to play, like, Sly and the Family Stone.
Ooh.
Or, like, Stevie. They was big on Stevie Wonder and stuff. And then my brothers and sisters used to listen to, like, Trick Daddy, like, Outkast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Real Southern stuff. And then
another
one of my brothers was into, like, Nas and Jay and, like, Big and all that.
East Coast stuff.
Yeah, East Coast stuff.
Yeah.
And then my sister's, like, she was in love with, like, the neo-soul, the, like,
Black Lauren Hill, Star,
all of that type of stuff. So
okay,
I usually just, you know what I'm saying? I was gonna say,
well, because when I hear your music, it sounds like a wide influence. Like you have the Atlanta drawl and slang, but you like are super barred up too. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like you're doing the halftime double time flow, and sometimes you're doing like a more traditional 4/4. Like you can rap in a lot of styles too. So it seems like you had a lot of influences. Yeah. So what do you think was, out of all those things you listed, what was the stuff you were most drawn to as a kid?
I remember at one point in my life I was real stuck into like the Nas and Jay beef.
Yeah.
And it was just like me and one of my other friends
that cared,
we used to always
it.
Talked about it, but we were in the South. Yeah. So around that time, what I feel like was going on was what, like Snap music?
Snap
was going on.
Right.
But we were just like, yo, like, did you hear this shit?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That Jay did, and Nas, and we were just really into that. And I remember like I love that. You know what I'm saying? There's something potent about that type of hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just the aggressive, the combative, you know what I'm saying, hip hop.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me fall in love with them. And then alongside with, like, you know what I'm saying, the Wayans, and then like the T.I.s, and then all of that stuff just a clusterfuck. And then,
I mean, that was that amazing time too, because when they were beefing, that was when Wayne was also going through like his mixtape renaissance, and the droughts are coming out.
Yeah,
and
those were hella impactful, bro.
It was like while those two were over there fighting, claiming to be the best rappers, Wayne was like kind of establishing himself as the best living rapper.
Yeah, he was putting his catalog together.
Yeah,
which is like untouchable.
Right.
Oh my God, I just heard some Wayne shit the other day.
Yeah,
Nick can't say nothing wrong about Wayne to me, bro. You can't disrespect Wayne around my, not at all.
I think I favored in one of your tweets that said that. Like, did you tweet the other day that's like, you can't say a bad word?
After I heard it, I was like, bro, don't talk bad about Wayne to me.
Look, man,
I'm gonna do you bad.
Let me tell you, I came up in like a backpacker West Coast scene where people were like, real hip hop, you know, quote unquote, as if there is a real hip hop that exists. But a lot of people from that are my age, they like hate on Wayne because they're used to him from the like Hot Boy shit and like Bling Bling, et cetera, et cetera.
But that stuff,
which is amazing, because he did
that's
when he was 16.
It's hard to grow up in hip hop.
I swear,
he's one of the only ones that did it. If you think about it, like growing up and going like through each stage of hip hop,
right?
He's the only one that really like
started as like literally a child and grew up to be a 35-year-old man that can still rap. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that's astounding. He's been doing it for 20 years. But yeah, I've spent way too much of my life like on Facebook defending Lil Wayne because so many people
you
are
just can't argue anything on social media. You just gotta let it rock and feel how you feel.
I know.
Argue with your homies.
I know.
What really matters, you feel me?
That's a good outlook because I still get in some like, fuck you.
Yeah. But, if you're gonna debate, you can't get it mad. You feel me? You just gotta let it be a debate.
Stay level headed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it can be fun and you need to learn from this shit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always make the mistake of getting into arguments online. It's a bad look. Were you Team Jay or Team Nas?
Ooh. See, my manager Barry said he judges his friends by like who they choose, Jay or Nas.
Mm-hmm.
And Ether. I chose Ether. So I love Jay.
Yeah.
I chose Ether though. He knows I chose Ether.
I chose Ether.
You feel me? That's just my answer. That's what people say.
See, my answer is like nuanced because I'm like, I do love both, and I do think Ether was the strongest track, but I also feel like I would career wise choose Jay.
No, of course, I'm
over Nas.
Yeah. That wasn't. Yeah, we just talking about
that. Just that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
But of course, Jay. Like,
Nas
had a great career too. He's having a great career. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Khalees let him down. Cold.
Well, I mean, you know that Ether is the best fucking diss song just because like now it has become synonymous with like when someone gets just murdered on a track, you go, oh, they got Ethered.
I'm saying. Like he coined the term after that.
Yeah, they like they're like, oh, we need to use this as slang now. He got Ethered.
Yeah, that's right.
I often worry like with new artists when I hear them and they put out an amazing project first, I'm like, fuck, I hope that they don't like Illmatic themselves. You know what I mean? Because I feel like Nas put out his best project when he was 18 and he spent his whole
career trying to keep up with that. I'm still bumping Life is Good.
You still love it?
Yeah. We just listened to Nas yesterday, so.
Oh, all right.
I feel you, but.
Maybe I'm stepping on like sensitive ground.
I like that though. Like different, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Because, well, to me, Jay is like the opposite where like he got off to a rough start and then like grew into this amazing artist.
Yeah, it's kind of like amazing how, you know what I'm saying, everything he did came into formation.
Right. Right. Well.
Yeah, that was kind of sick, right?
Formation. That's funny. I saw some, I know that I should not discuss memes. That's like the most childish thing, but I saw some meme where it was like, fucking, it's like a discussion between Jay and Barack Obama, and like, it was basically like, oh, don't worry about it, you'll get used to it. Like, when after Michelle Obama gave her a speech yesterday and everybody's like calling her God and everything, yeah, you know? Like, they're like, don't worry, like, Jay's like, don't worry, Barack, you'll get used to it.
That's stupid. That's fire.
Right? That's
fire. Yeah, that speech was good as hell.
Good,
it was
dude,
amazing.
That speech was so good.
It was so amazing.
Yeah. Well, tell me, I like to talk about sensitive race issues, so I know that we don't know each other that well, but bear with me, because I feel like there's a lot of like crazy shit going on in our country right now, and it happens, I mean, it's been happening obviously forever in the country, but I feel like it really comes into the media's light every 20 years or so. It feels like the whole world's going to explode again, and right now we're in the midst of that. So as a black man growing up in Atlanta, like, what's it like trying to, or like knowing that you need to like avoid the police every day, even if you're not doing anything?
This whole thing that's going on, you know, it's real shitty.
It is.
It feels like you powerless in a sense.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You angry, but you cautious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, me as a black man, I hate it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The whole situation, I hate even talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, I want to be able to do more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And some people feel like certain things are the answer, but I don't know what the answers are. You
and
feel me?
I don't think anybody does.
I don't know what the answers are.
Right.
It's just like, it's like drop jaw. You feel me? Like, you're just looking at the situation and praying to everything. You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever have run-ins like that?
Where, yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Like, even my brother, one of my brothers was in jail for like half my life.
Really?
Yeah, so most of my life, you feel me? Not even half yet.
Right.
Yeah, so just stuff like that. We always, you know what I'm saying, with my father and family and stuff, having a big family, it always been little situations, but the stuff like police, like I don't even want to say the name of the situation, but just you seeing getting shot, like,
right.
I hate social media for being able to see that. You know what I'm saying? I love social media, but at the same time, it's just give and a take thing, because, like, being able to witness a murder, like, in your hand.
It's so terrible.
PTSD? People are suffering from that shit, and they don't even know it, I feel like, because when you see somebody die, like, I've seen somebody die in front of me, bro, and it still fucks me up. Seeing the shit on your phone, it's kind of different, but it's kind of the same thing.
Like, but it's like, it's almost like there's this disconnect with it, because
it's
this,
like,
video,
it's a
that
movie,
you can,
it's
yeah,
a YouTube,
you can
watch at the same time, bro. Like, that,
it doesn't
that shit
feel
taking
as
toll on yourself.
Oh,
bro.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you become
it does for me, like,
numb
seeing
to
that
it.
Shit.
Yeah. And all of the names just become these like argument points rather
than
like human.
Yeah, so
I don't
bringing up the names. I'm here for like whoever need help, bro. Like, if I can do anything, bro. Like, I'm getting my guns ready, baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
right before I fucking got here, I saw somebody tweet out this fucking thing that Bill O'Reilly said.
Uh-huh.
I can't even believe this motherfucker's still allowed on TV, but you know how Michelle said,
when they low, we go higher. When they go low, we go higher.
Absolutely. I thought that was one of the strongest statements, but the thing that was like the most controversial that she said was like, I wake up in a house built by slaves. Which is like absolute truth, right?
Yeah.
This fool Bill O'Reilly gets on TV today and says, well, you know, it is factual that the White House was partially built by slaves, but those slaves were well fed and taken care of. And that, like, as if he was trying to justify it somehow, or like,
We don't talk. We don't
how
talk
crazy
that.
Is
yeah.
it?
Okay, he can have that.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, but I understand. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's disgusting.
Everything is right in front of everybody's face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to really like look at it and just figure out how you're gonna maneuver around it, because
I'm
personally going through it right now.
I'm hoping that the internet like kind of at least informs people,
because
even if people aren't,
100%.
Yeah.
Ye said the internet is our flying cars. Like, people thought, like, you know what I'm saying, by 2016, oh, we'll have like flying cars hovering, whatever. But this, like, the internet, you can be wherever you want.
Right.
Like, right there, I can be anywhere. Just in the click of my palm. You know what I'm saying?
People have so much more access to information that they never had before.
Yeah, that's
amazing. Yeah. And so I'm, yeah, I
don't
know.
Those are the, you know what I'm saying, the pros of it.
Mm hmm. Yeah. Mm hmm. Anyway, yeah, sorry. I got dark there.
Yeah, no, it's all good, bro. We need to get dark sometimes, bro.
It's hard to talk about. So you said at first you just be rapping at school and stuff.
Jibby rap, yeah.
Yeah, and so then when did it turn into like, wait, I'm like better at this than most people? When did you start to realize that?
I started writing more.
Yeah.
And not even just like raps. I always like, I think a lot, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a lot, but I used to just start writing stuff on paper, and I used to like be adamant, like with my teachers, my English teachers, like, yo, like, what if I thought I wrote it this way? Or, you know what I'm saying? Try to manipulate things to express myself more. But then I just started locking in. I was just like, you know what I'm saying? I could really do this. Like, I got an ear for it. You know what I'm saying? I have family that do music. Like, I just kind of saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of took fruition.
Mm-hmm.
When I start like asserting my energy towards that, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When was that around, you think?
Yeah, 2012. You feel me? I got kicked out of school.
Why'd you get kicked out of school?
Just I was wilding, just doing fun stuff. I was a rock star in college, so I was just doing crazy stuff.
Mm.
And whatever, got in some trouble with the law, kicked out of school, came back home. I was working with, if you ever heard of Earth Gang.
I have heard of, yeah, Earth Gang.
We formed like a collective called Spillage Village,
okay,
around that same time when we was in college. Because they were already on their like rapping grind. They knew they were going to do it.
Yeah.
I was playing football, you feel me?
I actually randomly found Earth Gang through Spotify. Yeah. It like was a Spotify suggestion to me, and I was like, oh, this shit is so dope.
Yeah, they're sick.
Yeah. So how'd you meet them? In college?
College.
Yeah.
So it was a studio in one of the dorms or whatever. They were, you know, I used to go in there, play around and stuff, but they were really like on their rap run, and I was just playing football.
Uh-huh.
And coming to the studio like after games or something, and just, right, step in and drop a verse here and there. But I just kind of locked in after the football thing was done, and then we came back. They went back to Atlanta first, then I came back, and we just started grinding, like working on our own separate paths. You know, mm-hmm, so they did their thing, I did mine, but we had the collective with, mm-hmm, like Jordan Bryant and Hollywood JB, just a couple other people. And it's just been working out. Now we're here, like.
Do you, this could be just me confusing things in my head, but do you guys also work a lot with Childish Major?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Okay,
he's,
cool.
Yeah, he's definitely affiliated. Childish, yeah, Major's amazing.
Yeah, he's dope too.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, you guys have a cool little scene going on. So how does what you guys have going on relate to the bigger picture of what's going on in Atlanta right now? Does that even make
it's
sense?
It's hard. You know, I feel what you're saying, because Atlanta like has a lot of stuff going. All eyes are in Atlanta, in a sense.
Absolutely. That's the hub of hip-hop right now, I feel like.
I feel like nobody like really pays attention to me.
Yeah.
I feel like people see, but they not believing what, you know what I'm saying, what they're seeing.
It's so new, it's just, right now,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's real new. And I just really, you know what I'm saying, get my feet set. So
It's so new.
But it's
going to
be a part of the grand scheme. I feel like where, yeah, hip-hop is going and where Atlanta has been, and it's just showing a different side of Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, just as someone that's older than you, I would say just be patient, because like you already got it. You've got it, and it's happening. But when it's happening, you might not realize it while you're in it. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? But from the outside, people can see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's good to know, bro.
So people are noticing, I think, and the way that I learned about you, I feel like the right people are noticing. So you got nothing to worry about. Yeah, like you said, all eyes are on Atlanta. Atlanta is like, rap music obviously in and of itself has grown to have so many subgenres, but now, mm-hmm, you can't even be like, you know, it used to be, oh, you could say New York rap, LA rap,
yeah,
Atlanta rap. Now it's like Atlanta rap has its own subgenres, you know what I mean? Because you've got like, you got the giants like Future out there, then you've,
yeah,
got like the kind of weird underground shit like Yachty coming out, you know, the Awful Collective. So like, do you run into like, I always wonder about like the melting pot of, or the, uh-huh, the, or like how it bubbles in Atlanta. Do like all those scenes kind of like see each other, yeah, out and about?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was a time period where, like, we all did shows and stuff together.
Yeah.
Everybody coming up, and everybody came up at like different times.
Uh-huh.
But everyone's like dope in their own sense. So hot, you know what I'm saying? What people believe in.
Right.
But yeah, I like the scene. Like Atlanta is progressive as far as,
fuck yeah,
yeah, like as far as the music, you know what I'm saying, and what's coming and what people like.
Yeah.
It's literally coming. It's coming from Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think everyone. I mean, it's very clear that like everyone's inspired by Atlanta right,
yeah,
now, because.
But it's cool. I like it. I see all these people. Like I fuck with Awful. I fuck with, you know what I'm saying. I think Yachty's cool. I think like 21 Savage dope as fuck. I like all these type of people. You know what I'm saying. I like,
yeah,
music. So
yeah,
I really wouldn't say any of it sucks. You know what,
yeah,
I'm saying. I was just. It's not for me if I don't like it, but it's,
right,
it's for somebody, and it's working. It's from my city, so it's all just bringing us to the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you even categorize your style of rap as? I feel like it's kind of heady. You know what I mean? Like, it's very thought provoking.
Yeah, I never really thought about like
big words and shit.
Yeah, that's great. I never really thought about like category. You know what I'm saying? Because it's different stuff that I like to make. You know what I'm saying? That people probably haven't heard yet. And I never really thought to categorize it because I just do a lot of different stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I really, and rap is my thing. Like, I know how to get my point across if I want to say something through that. You know what I'm saying? Through that funnel or whatever. But yeah, I couldn't really label it, bro.
Do you feel like you're still finding your voice?
I feel like I'm there. I'm like there where I know where how I want to project something. But you know, it's still more. It's levels to it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm in a good level, a good place right now.
I agree. So when you meet Earth Gang and start going to the dorm room afterwards, like how far along were they? Did they already have a little buzz around campus and stuff?
Yeah, they were like the weird earthy guys, and you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, sorry.
No. People fuck with Earth Gang. Like they knew who they were, and it was cool. It was working out.
How long did it take? Like, did you when you guys met? Were you like, oh yeah, I rap too? And they're like, oh,
we met. Through we was in the dorm where we were recording that, and I had a verse on a song already, and it was this dude named Pat. And as soon as I came in the room, I feel like Johnny Venus had already laid his verse, and Doc was recording like on the spot right there. I didn't even know it, so it was a little back and forth, like, hey, these dudes from Atlanta, like, they're dope. And then they was like, oh shit, like, he's dope as hell too. So it was a little talk before, but I came in the room and they were arguing on. I was like, oh shit, they're actually really dope.
Yeah.
And it was just really from then on, we just.
So did you hop on that track that night?
No, I laid the verse.
You were already. Oh, so then they were like, oh, this is you.
Yeah.
So you didn't. There was no like proving grounds where it was like.
We really didn't have to do that.
It was just kind of instantly.
And then we just kept doing records together and stuff. And we was like, oh, all right. Yeah. Like, this is a consistent thing. Like,
right.
Niggas is really nice.
So when you move back to Atlanta, do you guys end up there at the same time approximately?
No. They were there already. They had finished up school. I was coming back from Virginia a little late, like finishing up some shit. And they was just, you know what I'm saying, doing shows or whatever. I would come perform like a song on one of their shows.
Yeah.
And that kind of led to me like getting my own shows. And then it was going like back and forth.
Where are the shows in Atlanta? Like, what are the shows like?
The shows are really underground. You might have a crowd if it's, you know what I'm saying, somebody they really fuck with on the ticket.
Yeah.
But Atlanta crowds are spoiled because it's Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, you trapping? You talking? Like, it depends on what you're talking about. But me, we were coming with like, hey, really spitting. So I really wasn't tripping on niggas like going crazy in the crowd and all that. I was like, I'm finna get these, I'm getting my rocks off right quick. And then niggas started like really paying attention. Like, oh, I fuck with this. This is like something different. And it's us.
Right.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, here when you hear a rapper like you, if you've never heard the tracks in your headphones before, and then you catch you live, it's almost more of a compliment if people are kind of like standing still and listening.
Yeah.
You know, like your music is not something where you're gonna turn up to it the first time that you hear it, but then when you
know it
and you're coming to see it, then they will know.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because I always wondered about that because. You know, out here in the rap scene 10 years ago, it was like we were playing shows every fucking weekend. And yeah, sometimes they would be empty and sometimes they would be cracking as fuck. But it's like a totally kind of like different style of music and style of fan, to be honest. So I was always wondering, like, when you start off in the underground in Atlanta, particularly now that social media is so popular, if shows are necessary or if people can just bypass that, you know what I mean?
You move around pretty good. Like, we moved around pretty good in the city.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really, like, social media based. It was really, like, oh, they know, like, our faces. They know, you know what I'm saying, the names and stuff like that.
Beat to the ground.
Yeah,
fucking,
100%.
Yeah. That's dope, man.
And the shows go crazy. Like, we really, you know what I'm saying, I enjoy performing. And Earth Gang does, too. But, you know what I'm saying, we just really put for real like effort into that shit.
Yeah. How long did it take before you felt comfortable on stage?
Probably like a good 3-4 shows.
Yeah.
I just stopped rapping over my vocals.
So you just rap you just rap over the beat now?
Yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah, or the hook.
Maybe, or the hook, whatever,
I just started doing that and just been able to project a little bit better and just studying other people that did that shit just better or whatever.
Right. But how often are you playing shows now?
Really often. I get booked.
Like every weekend?
Not every weekend, but maybe every other or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's dope, man. Is that your, what's your favorite part about it, of rapping? Is it shows?
Yeah. The people, you know what I'm saying? Seeing the people and getting their reactions, and then, like, even if they notice it, then it's like, oh, like, now we even more in tune. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the shows is just, like, really my thing. I love performing tours and shit.
So what... Are you still recording with Earth Gang mainly in the same studio? Is that where, is that
like our schedules are different?
You should, okay,
so
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I work on my stuff and they handle it.
So when you guys got back though, you were working together pretty closely.
Yeah, with, and
Was it one of those things where like since all of you knew like okay this is it,
mm-hmm.
like was it like just crazy hustle mode like 24 hours a day fucking working on stuff?
Yeah, when we can get it when we can because we didn't like. You know what I'm saying? We ain't have no money.
Right.
Niggas was broke as fuck. So
right.
we was paying for it. We was doing little odd jobs, you know what I'm saying? Working here and there just to pay for studio time to right. drop projects or try to drop some type of content like right. through a studio and do it the right way. So it was like, it took time, you feel me? Because it was the money. Like niggas was deprived for forever. Like,
right.
Didn't have no bread.
So you were paying for studio time rather than just like doing it in a basement or something?
Yeah, we eventually, you know what I'm saying, moved forward to get our own shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like a good couple years when niggas was just like getting how we live.
What kind of odd jobs did you have? Any shitty jobs of note?
Domino's.
Oh, really?
I was a pizza delivery man.
How was that?
I was shady.
Really?
No, I was just playing.
Nah, it's
it
fine.
Was crazy. I was just working, bro. I was working on the west side of Atlanta.
You
and I'm from the east, so I ain't see anybody that I knew. So I'm just dropping off pizzas, doing my job, and I quit after like 3 months.
How would you see any crazy shit delivering pizzas?
Oh my gosh. Yes, because I was only delivering in the hood, so
yeah.
anything like that you can see. But I was delivering in some good areas too. Like west side of Atlanta is kind of crazy because you can see like a big ass fucking mansion right here,
yeah.
and then across the street you would be like in the hood. You feel
right,
me?
Right.
But yeah, I seen somebody get wasted. Like it was a big fight. Not wasted as in dead,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean like punched through his soul type situation. I got out of there. I dropped a piece and kept it moving. You feel me? Let me get my little tip, Cuddy. And I was out.
Shit! Is that what, were there neighborhoods where you're like having to look over your shoulder, like, oh fuck, someone gonna steal this pizza?
Yeah, because I don't know, like people trying to rob Pizza Man.
Yeah,
it was a couple guys that got robbed. Like you just sad over there, bro, because you lost your little $40 bank that they gave.
Damn, that's crazy. So that lasts only 3 months, and so like, but that was paying the studio bills.
Yeah, and then that got. Niggas to get like we got mics and shit or whatever little situation, we got some stuff to record on, and then it was just like every day.
Yeah. How long was it until you meet like managers and stuff like that?
I say about 2 years into it.
Yeah.
After like before we got our like equipment and stuff, met some guys that. You know, some great guys.
Right. So tell me, because the reason I ask is that I think a lot of our listeners are like aspiring whatevers, aspiring musicians or producers or rappers or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So like, what was your grind like? Like, what was your, how did you figure out your hustle when it came to the music?
I just was real, like, I watched things a lot. You know what I'm saying? I've seen people
who would you watch?
Do stuff before me, even with, like, you know what I'm saying? Let me think. I used to watch, I don't know if you heard of him, Young Capone, Rah-Rah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my brother, was, like, we were real close with him. You know what I'm saying? We were from the same area and stuff. We played, like, same football park and stuff. I just watched. You remember, I'm hot and I'm bad. You don't like me, you kiss my ass. Like, he was on earlier, you know what I'm saying, in his life, and then it was a little downtime or whatever. I seen how he made his moves and stuff, and then closer, like, I watched how Earth Gang move. They did certain things. I watched people in the city because that was really, like, I can get a real, like, I know you. Like, I can speak to you about what you're going through because it was people that was doing it before me. I kind of started, like, a little late, so when I came to the city, I was just going off of, oh, all right, cool, like, I can spit, you know what I'm saying? I got this song right here. I met you at this show last week. I'm performing here, and all of that stuff is... helped me, like, the shows week after week, and me having like a consistent, I stay like with my notepads and writing pen and pad, like that's my thing even today. Like I write something every single second that I think of something the slightest, like remotely close to being cool, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, yeah,
that's a good trait to like obsessively record your thoughts down. I feel like that leads to a prolific amount of music. Are you recording a lot lately?
Yeah, I'm just finishing up this project or whatever, EP.
Yeah.
And I stay recording, like, as much as I can.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing any other thing that's adding to the art.
Right. When I hear your raps, though, I I feel like you're very careful about wordplay. Like, you're very, like, okay, so here's, when I write lyrics, I'm super OCD about it. Mm-hmm. Like, everything needs to be in the exact right place. And sometimes I'll think about one singular syllable for a fucking day before I get it right. Like, are you that way?
Yeah, I'm anal.
Yeah.
With my words. I'm very, very picky.
So you're not somebody that just goes, I mean, I can tell this, that you're not someone that just goes in a booth and, like, fucking freestyles and then cleans it up. Like, you
No,
are,
I've done that before, but that's, yeah, it just wasn't getting across, like, everything. I gotta want to say everything, you know?
Right, right. So do you go through these phases where sometimes a song will pour itself out in like an hour and then other times it takes you like a month?
As of lately, when I feel like I started so late and I feel like I always wanted to do this, that when I want to do it, it gets done.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yes, it takes hours, and some days it take a couple of days, but I never dealt with like a month of downtime like that would hurt.
Right. Or like, I don't even mean like a month of downtime. I was always the type of person where I would work on I would be working on like three or four songs at a time.
Yeah.
And one might take all my attention, but in the back of my head, I'm working on all this right, other
no,
one.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's how it happens.
Yeah. So like, even though I might start it on this day, I don't actually spend a full month on it. It's just like I revisit
it.
Yeah,
I got back to it.
Yeah, right.
And then you're going to have a different ear about it, so.
Right, right. Was there one song in particular that started like popping for you that got your name out a little more than other ones?
I dropped a song. Well, I dropped a project like February 15th.
Uh-huh.
And that got like ears so running and stuff. Yeah. It wasn't like a real one song.
Right.
Like people like that project or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I can say the song that has been catching is Never.
Uh-huh.
And Underwear. It was a song that like went Underwear. Crazy too.
That, that song's tight. I like the cover art too. It's funny.
Real simple.
Yeah, that's dope. Have you ever, do you have any like idols in Atlanta that you've met that you were like surprised to have met yet?
I wouldn't say idols. I wouldn't use that word.
Yeah, right.
But just people that, you know what I'm saying, are like real impactful.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I never met Tip though. I feel like I've been around, but I never like literally met Tip, but that's somebody that
that's
I
one
want
of
to. Never met Cast either.
Huh.
Yeah. That sucks. I see. Yeah, Dre take pictures of people all the time. I need to see them. Who else? And CeeLo. Just people like that. Like the pioneers. Like people you know. Like I feel like I haven't met any of those people.
Right.
I met Nas though.
Did you?
I met Nas.
Where'd you meet Nas at?
We was in LA.
Really?
And we walked up to him. It was me and Earth Gang. I was like, bro, that's Nas. Like, nigga, that's not Nas. Nigga, Doc was like, nigga, that's not Nas. Like, bro, that's Nas. He went to the bathroom, came out. So Venus like, nigga, that's Nas. Walked up on him. I followed up, nigga, it's Nas. So he's like, bro, can we take a picture? I was like, yeah. Then he
Hey, that was a good it. Yeah, though. You sounded just like Nas
yeah,
right there.
How, bro, he was so cool. Nas ain't give a fuck, bro. I wrote Ether, bro. I don't care about y'all.
Right.
They was talking about how they went on tour with one of his artists or some shit.
Uh-huh.
Bro, it was just so like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We took the picture, you know what I'm saying? He did a little peace sign. He dropped it below his, like, near his hip and shit.
Yeah.
It was like a weird-ass little piece,
uh-huh.
if you look at the picture. But
right.
That shit was epic, bro. I was happy as fuck about that.
Where was that at? I mean, other than in L.A.?
In L.A., it's some little place. It was a lot of people there, like Michael B. Jordan, Michael Bitches.
Oh, shit.
Michael Bitches was there. My name.
I love how influenced you are by the Dungeon Fam. Like, I often wonder if like the younger generation is like getting influenced by that part of Atlanta's history. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think like I'm in tune. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I grew up in a time like in the 90s, like right before the internet was like really made. So I'm like one of the few. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People that was like there for right before.
Right.
And then when it's crazy as hell right now. So it's like a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I just like, oh shit, like the original shit, the shit that people felt, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Before it was just like trendy and everybody likes it because they saw something, you know what I'm saying?
Right, totally. Online. Right. Did you watch that Dungeon Fam documentary?
Yeah, it was sick.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always love like rap origin stories, you know what I mean? Like just hearing about like, oh yeah, we were just at
how
the studio all the time, sitting on dirt stairs, like sleeping on the ground, like we just knew it was gonna happen. Like,
yeah,
so
I feel like everyone has to go through that shit, like,
yeah,
to some extent. You
absolutely,
you gotta take that humble
Right, it's like the boot camp that you go through at the beginning, you know what I mean?
Unless like you just got a stupid bag or you just like somebody's son.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet you there's like a lot of that in Atlanta now because rap has been in that city for so long that there's probably kids that get buzzed that like just were born into the music industry.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? You can't even blame them for being born into a family. Like, because if it was you, I'm lit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, exactly. No hatred at all. I find that so interesting as like, it's just something that I've recently started to notice as I get older is that like, just like if you have a plumber for a father, you might end up becoming a plumber because you know that like
be good at this.
You know what I mean? If you got a father in the rap game, you might be bound to be a rapper because that's all you've grown up around. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's tight.
Yeah. I don't know. So out here on doing business and stuff, you have an EP coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
When are you guys shooting to put that out?
Around the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to get everything solidified right now so we can give people a day, but just around the fall.
You got cover art and stuff?
Yeah, working on all of that now. It's all being processed.
Will it be free?
Working on all of that.
You figuring it all out?
Yeah.
Right now, really
like today,
much.
That's why I'm here in LA.
Yeah, who's, if you had a dream collab, who would that be?
I would say Little Dragon or James Blake or somebody.
Oh, James Blake.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. I love James Blake. You would sound great over his production.
Oh, my God.
Those kind of like flat synth keys. Oh,
he's
man.
So, bro, James Blake is like white Marvin Gaye.
No, I think he's like Aaron Neville.
Woo!
Right?
Yeah, that was big.
Hey, think about it. Like, his voice, it reminds me of like Aaron Neville with auto-tune, kind of.
When I retrograde, like the part when he goes really high at the end, it's just like a real Marvin Gaye thing to me.
Oh, that's
everything I heard.
I feel you.
Yeah.
When you're in writing mode, do you find yourself avoiding listening to other rap music so as not to be influenced by it?
Doesn't cross me because I'm not really too much affected by music that like. It just depends. It just depends on what it is.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think other rap music affects like what I'm about to say.
Right. What kind of other like alt music like James Blake are you into? You have pretty eclectic tastes?
Yeah. Certain, but it goes from eclectic to like ratchet, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Real fast.
Right.
I like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, Little Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I like Hiatus Coyote. They're dope as hell.
Mm-hmm. They're Australian, right? Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They're, I don't know where.
Maybe,
they're
I don't
Australian.
Know.
They're definitely Australian. Napalm is, yeah.
Yeah. Who else?
I'm big on D'Angelo.
Oh, yeah.
I used to like, I just got into his stuff like as of recently and stuff like that.
And legend.
Yeah, I just like people who pin like it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like the Smokey Robinson. Just like, I used to like listen to stuff that people that we know like wrote for other people just because like their mindset just fucks me up. I kind of like great writers.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you still toy with writing that's not rap music? Like, do you just fuck with regular prose?
No, I try to. You said, do I still what?
Like, just write to write, like, that's not raps.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Stories or whatnot.
Definitely. Or
fiction.
Just, yeah, just like a diary type situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely just write stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
But not like my day was like this, dude.
Right.
It'd just be like, you know what I'm saying? Fuck something or something.
Yeah.
It'd turn to a rap usually, though.
You gonna write a book when you're done rapping?
Probably got close to a book right now.
Really?
Yeah, I just stay penning. Like, I just have a lot of stuff going on in my mind, so a lot of stuff I want to express, so.
Nice, man.
I stay writing.
What do you do for fun out in Atlanta other than rap? Or is it pretty much just all
Music is fun to me, but I smoke weed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas give my, we play ball and shit. Niggas play basketball. Just trying to stay active and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so have you been on tour yet?
I went on a couple tours.
With Earth Gang?
I went on the Absol tour that they went.
Oh, yeah.
That one. And then I went on tour with Pell.
Pell on here. Yeah, we love Pell. He's a good dude. Him and Nolan.
Nolan's amazing, though. He's And Omen from Dreamville. I went on a 4-city tour with him.
Right. Okay. So are you going out again soon or no?
We're working on it right now. I feel like it's going to be a good one. I can't.
Do you like
right
touring?
Now. Yeah, that's the best part of it because I love performing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good that you like that because I feel like you're going to be doing a lot of it, man.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, shit. Tell the people where they can find you online.
On Twitter, you can find me at JIDSV on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, JIDSV. Snapchat, JIDSV.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same. Same with Facebook.
Nice.
Yep.
Is JID stand for something?
It's just a nickname. My granny, when I was a baby, I used to like move around real fast and shit, just be all active. So she used to call me Jittery. So I was just like, all right, it could be JIDD or JID. And sometimes it's an acronym. Like sometimes I throw it in and give like different meanings to it. But it really just stands for Jittery, like on some grandma. Like,
right.
She laughs that that's my rap name. She likes calling me that now.
Nice. Yeah, just indescribably deep. No, yeah. I just came up with that acronym.
I was looking at the acronyms on the internet. It's just some crazy shit that JID stands for. Like,
really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like one of them, like Journal of Diseases, Journal and Diseases.
Oh man,
yeah, it was some weird shit.
Yeah,
I was just like, I don't care.
That's funny, man. All right, well, you got a project coming out soon.
Yeah,
you're in LA and you're heading home soon.
Yeah.
People can find you in Atlanta playing shows.
Yeah, or wherever. I got a show in Canada coming up soon.
Ooh, in Canada? Where at?
Yeah, like September 11th. Sick. Well, August, September. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you coming back down for that big festival thing out here?
Probably.
Yeah, it's, I feel like Earth Gang's on it. Maybe not. Yeah. Anyhow. All right. Well, fuck. Yeah, look for JID online. JID. Sorry, I just said your name wrong. Like an asshole.
All good, bro. It's all good.
My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can find me online at It's Intuition. You can follow my man, Ben Shin, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, base with two S's. You can follow us on YouTube by subscribing to youtube.com/kindaneat, where you are going to see JID perform. What song are you going to play?
Never.
Play Never, yeah. Bang Bang. And you are going to be the first rapper that we've recorded performing on the new SSL that Daddy Kev got. Shout out to Kev for that. Remember to subscribe to Kinda Neat on the podcast app. Download that shit. Search for it. Subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a comment. Tell us who you want to see on the show. And don't forget to go to patreon.com/kindaneat, where you can pledge $1 per episode if this is part of your weekly routine. If it's not, and this is your first time listening because you're here to check out JID, then you don't have to give us any money. But if you stick around for future episodes, you should do that. Anyhow, that was JID. My name is Lee, and this was Kinda Neat.